Hello, this is Larry Goins. How is everybody doing?
Hey, Larry.
Good.
Hey, Uncle Larry.
Who we got on the line?
This is Bill Ruth from Columbia, South Carolina.
Awesome. Good to see you.
Nope, good to hear you.
This is Gabriel Gibson from Dallas, Texas.
What's up?
What's up?
I was Nashville.
Nashville was good. We had a blast, man. Had a blast. Had heard some live music. You know,
awesome.
it wasn't too shabby.
Did you stay in that motorhome?
No, we didn't. We ended up staying in a place near the action, and we were trying to get you a record contract, but we didn't have any recordings for us to play them. So we just had to show you showed them your picture. So.
Oh, there you go. I'm sure that went very far.
Yeah, so we can keep trying.
Don't give up.
All right.
Who else?
Hi, this is Zico from Chambersburg in PA.
Awesome.
Fred's here from Wilmington.
Great.
Bill from Phoenix.
Good.
Hey, Patty from Asheville.
Hey.
And Larry, this is Sheila from Denver, Colorado.
What's happening?
Wait a minute. I want you to hear something.
Okay.
That's your bell?
I get to ring it.
Good. What did you do?
You know that painful house that I had to keep emailing and talking to you about. It's sold Thursday.
Congratulations. Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
You go, girl.
Yes, yeah, so finally.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You did it.
Yep.
That's great. All right, so let's jump right in. If it's your first time, welcome to the biweekly Q&A calls live from Lake Wylie, South Carolina, at my home office looking out over the lake. And we're going to stay on as long as you need me. And everybody's really respectful on these calls. We, ask a question, give somebody else a chance, then, you know, you can jump back in or whatever. And I usually don't have to mute the lines. Everybody is really good about keeping the background noise to a minimum. But if I hear dogs barking or kids screaming or fishes rattling, I'll let you know to mute your line. I think you hit *6 to mute your line. But other than that, we're just going to jump in, have some fun, and talk some real estate. So who has a question you would like to jump in with and kick things off?
Well, Larry, I have one. This is
okay.
Sheila. You know, okay, you purchased a house under LLC name.
Right.
Okay, so we sold that house that we purchased under LLC name, sold it, and then they sent us a check. That was a house sight unseen. They sent us a check, and it's in the LLC name.
Right.
Okay, so when we went to the bank, it was a problem because we didn't have a bank account set up for the LLC, that particular one, and the others, they wouldn't let us deposit it under any of those. But we wanted to know if you have a number of sales, how do you work with the checks that's received under the LLC name?
Well, usually you're going to have a bank account for your LLC because you're not going to use one LLC per house. You know, you would have an LLC for your buy-sell business, and you would have an LLC for your buy-hold business, you know, for your investments.
Uh-huh.
So you would typically have an LLC. But I understand where the closing attorney or title company, if it's a specific entity selling the property, then they could do that. I mean, they not could, but they're going to write the check into that entity. Now, a couple of ways to get around it, okay?
Uh-huh.
Before the closing, it might be tough now, but before the closing, you might be able to send them wiring instructions to a different account. And sometimes they'll catch it, sometimes they won't. But if you could send wiring instructions ahead of time, they might could wire it right into either your personal account or whatever. The other thing you could possibly do is give them a resolution, a corporate resolution, to make the check payable to another entity or to yourself, your personal account.
Okay.
Or a third way you could do it would be to give an assignment from that LLC to another LLC that you wanted to, and then that way they would have the assignment and they can write the check or wire the money to the LLC that you assigned the deal to just before closing.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Make sense?
Yes, it does. But, yeah, in this case, so we just went on and opened up a quick checking account because
after the fact, it's a little more difficult.
Yes, yes. And so what they wanted us to do, I said, oh, no, it would be quicker for us to just go home and get our paperwork and just open up this account.
Open an account. There you go.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Well, that worked.
Yeah.
The good news is you got a check, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
That's great. Congratulations.
Yep. I learned a whole lot from this experience and we'll have to see if something else can go smoother and quicker. But, you know, we tried other avenues like the seller financing and all that too, but it didn't work out. So we just elected to just go on and sell and move on.
Every deal is different, and it's a learning experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
That's for sure.
Yep.
That's for sure. Well, good. I'm glad you cashed out. I know it took you a little while on that deal, but you know, but it was a learning experience on that particular deal, and I get it, and I'm glad you were able to get out of it and get some money and move on.
Yep.
Good. Awesome. Okay, anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry, this is Patty from Asheville.
Hey.
So we bought a double wide on land, had it detitled, and had a little bit of work done on it. And we just got a contract on it last night.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So we're getting everything to the lawyer tomorrow. We did our own background check and credit check and stuff. And my question was, I'm a little confused. We've been working with Nathan, but as far as insurance goes, I think what I remember you teaching is that the buyers get insurance and put our LLC on it as a loss payee?
Or mortgagee.
Mortgagee.
Right.
Okay.
You are the mortgagee. If you're buying it in your LLC or your LLC owns it, and
right,
selling it, then it is the mortgagee and the mortgagor is the borrower.
Okay. So that's how, because I guess I was confused about the insurance being in the LLC's name, but then that would give the buyer no protection.
Right. The buyer gets the insurance, and then whatever the insurance bill is, the servicer will typically divide that by 12. Some servicers divide it by 10 for the first year. So that way there's a little extra in there. But they divide it by 10 or 12, and then that is their escrow payment per month. So when the bill comes due again in a year, then the money is in the escrow account to pay for it.
Right. Okay.
Good.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's what I thought I remembered from some of the I think I did nothing but owner financing.
Good, good. So did that
help? Yeah, definitely.
Great. Great. Well, congratulations on your deal and getting it sold.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. They're excited, we're excited, and it was, you know, it took a little bit of elbow work and you know, found a great contractor. So, you know, we've learned a lot because this is really our first double wide.
Every deal is a learning experience, just like I mentioned Chilo a while ago.
Yep.
That's good. Well, I'm glad you got it sold. Congratulations.
Yep.
Great. Who else has a question?
I got one, Larry.
What's up?
Hey, Larry, it's Aaron in Dallas.
Hey.
How you been?
How do you mean?
Well, good question. I'm glad you asked that. Hey, man, I've been great. We had a nice trip back. It was amazing spending that week with you there.
That's awesome. Hey,
we've been working hard.
Before I came downstairs, did you see my email response about your new deal you just got?
Yes, sir, and I just read it before I hopped on the call here. Thank you.
Okay, great. Sure, no problem.
Yeah, we've been working through some other challenges, as you know, and we just got that new one accepted, another HUD property accepted today.
Awesome.
And we drove out there. We hammered up some sides. We looked at the property. So that roof, I got your email saying that, you know, we should just market the heck out of it and try to see what we can do. And, you know, at the very worst case scenario, we're risking $500, so it makes sense.
Right. And with the roof having problems and you having problems with the subfloor, possibly, I don't think it's a good seller finance deal personally. But since it started out listed, if I'm remembering correctly, it was listed for 74. They dropped it to 59.5. You just picked
right.
45. So,
right.
So I think you can market the heck out of it for maybe 55, you know, 54.9, something like that, and then find you a wholesale buyer. You know, it's I always tell people it's very difficult to wholesale a house for higher than list, although I have done it.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, as long as you keep your price below list and you market the heck out of it, you know, people are immune to seeing a realtor sign. But if they know it's a $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 neighborhood and they see a sign that says 55, well, maybe not if it's a $60,000 neighborhood, but if it's a $70,000, $80,000 neighborhood, they see a sign for $55,000 cash that says foreclosure on it, your phone's going to ring off the hook.
Right. Yeah, we actually had a family approach us while we were there just taking pictures of the house and looking at it.
Oh, good. Are they cash buyers?
He apparently just sold a place and had a good chunk of cash, not the full amount, but about half of that.
Uh-huh.
So that was the next question I had so I guess marketing a property for $55,000 in a small town, we'd be marketing towards an end user, someone that's going to buy in and put some elbow grease in, or is this marketed more towards an investor we'd send out to our list and market as an investor-type property?
Yes and yes, all of the above. you're gonna be marketing to your buyer's list. You're going to take a flyer to the RIA group. You're going to direct mail non-owner occupieds in the area. You're going to put all the signs out. You're going to put Craigslist ads out, and you might sell it to an investor. You might sell it to an existing landlord out there that wants to pick up another rental in that neighborhood. You might sell it to somebody looking to, you know, maybe they got some mattress money, or, you know, they got a little bit of money stashed away and they're looking for a deal and they don't mind, like you said, putting some elbow grease in it and doing it themselves. Or maybe it's somebody buying it for their son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter, and, you know, because they want them to be close to them, you know. So just market it to everybody. Now, as far as the people that came over there and you said they got a good chunk to put down, maybe about half, I don't know if you meant half of what you got in it or half of what you're selling it for, but if you're buying it for 45 and they could put 25 down, then, you know, hey, I would raise the price a little bit more, or, you know, give them the seller finance price. And if they put 25 down, you know, now you got 20 in it, and you could go and borrow 30, and you know, or maybe even 35 or whatever, and you know, so you got, you're making a little bit of money up front, plus you got a little bit of spread there. You know, just depending on if they're willing to do the work. I didn't see the inside, but from what you said, it needed some subfloor work from some water damage. But, you know, if that deal doesn't work out, just sell it wholesale. There's some companies out there that advertise two prices at once. They have, like, if you go to CastleRockREO.com, that's CastleRockREO.com, you'll see many of their properties. They have a cash price and an owner finance price, and they post both prices. Oh, there. Like the owner finance price might be $59,900, but the cash, the discounted cash price might be $40,000.
Right. Okay. Okay. Good idea. Great
help?
Idea. It does help. And I went ahead and started asking around. I got in touch with a good insurance person who does a lot of the deals for Scott Horn and those guys that do a lot of owner finance transactions. She's familiar with doing what we do, which is writing a policy to get the primary insured on there and get additional insured and all that.
Right.
And I learned a lot from her on a phone call today, but basically the insurance rates in Texas are just pretty high. So on this house that we might sell for, you know, 90, the insurance would be probably around $150 a month. And so it's just going to make it quite a bit of challenge for us on those numbers to make it, you know, an affordable PITI.
Right. Yeah, $1,800 a month or $1,800 a year is pretty steep.
Yeah, yeah, and that's not even replacement cost. That's cash value.
Wow. Okay.
Crazy.
I know. Is that though, with them being you know, as an owner occupied buyer? That is.
Right, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I know it's just a challenge to overcome, and we will, but obviously it makes it a little bit tougher to structure a deal, especially when we have an underlying investor to pay each month and to hit that number, which we talked about per you know, per deal, cash flow-wise.
The place I tell people to always go to first is wherever they currently have their car insurance. They might be able to get a little discount.
And that's what I used that exact approach that you recommended, and I actually just got off the phone with them before I called you. And I told them to call, and if they got more than one car, call the insurance broker and say, hey, I got a bunch of cars. I'm going to be a new homeowner. Can you give me a good deal? And so they're going to try that tomorrow, see if we can get a more affordable rate for them.
That's good. Good for you. That's great.
Learned it from the best. Thank you.
How do you mean? Awesome. Okay, anybody else have a question? Question, a deal you're working on, question about a deal, question about an idea, about something you're thinking about doing.
I'll ask more if no one else has a question.
That's fine. Jump on in.
Okay. I know we talked about it last week, but we'd like to get some backup buyers on this Baird house.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's probably a good idea to do going forward when we sell these Filthy Riches models and such, having a buyer while they're working through the RMLO and such, keep marketing the property, keep building up prospects, and having a backup.
Right.
Do you recommend getting that in glue with them, the backup person, just getting a contract, having them mail us a deposit, and doing the same thing we would as if they were buying it?
Yes, except right on it, this is a backup offer, and they sign it, but you don't have to sign it yet.
Gotcha. And then if our primary one falls through, we just, you know, switch places and turn them into the RMLO and next, like,
exactly.
Kind of, you know, in the bullpen, warming up.
A little bit of leverage for your buyer. You can say, you know, hey, just to let you know, I do have a backup offer with a deposit on this property. So this is a hot property. So be sure and do
everything. Yeah, in case they try to weasel out of something.
Yeah, be sure and do everything you need to get your down payment and get your insurance and everything
mm-hmm.
done. We can go ahead and move forward so you don't lose this opportunity.
Right. And some of those things that you teach in your courses and your method is, you know, kind of getting them up a little bit more on down payment, getting them to borrow some money, maybe even give them some get some collateral in the form of gold, silver, and other tools.
Weaponry.
There's AR-15s. Yes, sir. hey, I'll take them if they got them. But,
there you go.
What do you think? I mean,
bill of sale. Be sure you do
yes,
a bill
sir.
Of sale. Make sure they're in the same state. Make sure you know get IDs
right.
and all that stuff. Do that legally.
Well, I'd turn them right into the government because you know that's they're evil and stuff. I'd make sure I get them and turn them right in.
Hillary.
You know how we roll here. So as like a final stage of negotiating, do you think I'd be pushing it too far? Like just say they get through the RMLO process. And they come back and you thing as a point you just say, hey, you know, this isn't so great. We probably, you know, can work with you, but would you need you to come up with another $500 or something like that to make it a stronger, make you a stronger candidate or something like that? Do you think that's pushing it too far?
I here's what I think, and I think I told you this last week, but don't try to force a deal. In other words, you know, if you got a fairly weak buyer, and you know you really want 5,000 minimum, but they can only come up with 4, and now you're gonna have to pay for their insurance, and their RMLO fee out of the 4, you're gonna end up getting about 2. Then you know, hey, look, I'd love to help you. I can hear you, but I can't reach you. You know, I got other people interested in the property, and unfortunately, for every homeowner, there's closing cost, okay? And, you know, we already said that our minimum is $5,000. We're bending the rules a little bit to help you with the 4, but you're going to have to come up with the closing cost and the RMLO, or your insurance and the RMLO fee. And, you know, listen, if it wasn't for the government, you wouldn't have that RMLO fee. That's the government, and they say that you must be qualified. If I could qualify you, if they would allow me to, it wouldn't cost you anything. But they're making you go to a third-party mortgage company that's licensed just to pull your credit and to run all your figures and make sure you have what's called the ability to pay. So, you know, do you have an uncle, an aunt, a cousin, a grandparent, a parent? You know, well, I live with my mom right now. Well, let me get her number. I'll call her. And you call up the mom and say, hey, I'm trying to help Junior get into a house. And it looks like he can qualify for everything except he's just a little short on the down payment. Do you think you might be able to help him out if I can get him out of your house?
Yeah, that's a good sales point.
There you go.
So let's say that they do meet that criteria and we do get the $5,000 that we wanted.
Uh-huh.
And they're paying for all their own fees. I was just kind of saying as like a, just to throw something a little extra into the deal to add a little bit on top, you know, to get as much cash from them, get as much skin in the game from them as possible, use that as leverage. Say, okay, we went through, we RMLO did their work, credit's not so hot, you might have this, you might have that. Normally, we'd be a little strict on this, but I'll tell you what, if you can come up with another $500, another $1,000, we'll pass you right now. Do you think that would be pushing it and crossing the line with them? After we've asked them to come up, you know, a couple of times already, or do you think just, you know, go for it?
I would say go for it, and here's the way I would say it, okay? You know, I would say, Aaron, I got some good news and I got some bad news, okay?
Oh, great.
The good news is I got you approved. Congratulations. It's very difficult to get approved, especially now that we have to use these RMLOs, okay? The bad news is, based on your situation, I just need you to come up with a little bit more money. Now, it looks like, based on the situation and based on what the underwriters told me, you're going to need about another $2,500, okay? But here's what I'm willing to do. If you can meet me halfway, I'll match it for you.
Right.
So help me help you. If you can come up with $1,250, I'll come up with $1,250, and I'll match it and help you become a homeowner. By the way, did you want to be in before Christmas?
I love that line, by the way. I've been using it a lot, and people get really excited when I say that.
What's that?
I said, how nice would it be to open your Christmas presents in your new house?
I love it. That's great. How did you like the matching?
Yeah, that's a great idea, too. It shows them that you're trying to work with them, which we are.
There you go. Help me help you. You know, I'll meet you halfway.
Fantastic.
I'll match it for you.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
No, it doesn't hurt to ask. And you put it off on the third party. It's not you, right?
I'll put it off on Gabriel.
Yeah, put it off on Gabriel.
Nice.
That's the easiest method.
There you go. Good cop, bad cop. Right? That's good. All right.
You got that right. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Larry.
No problemo. It's what I do. So, all right. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, Zico here.
Hey.
I'm still looking for my first deal, but I was just wondering if there are particular houses that you stay off, like just looking at the years. Let's say an 1880 house, probably would you look at it like, okay, it could have a lot of problems? I mean, just by looking, not like scrutinizing it. Or let's say a Victorian kind of house, or just by design, do you get like that kind of prejudice, or you have to evaluate everything?
Are you talking about the age of a house? Because I can barely hear you.
I'm saying like the way you go through the, I mean, if you are looking at properties, do you just like disregard a property because of the year?
Because of the model?
Yeah, because of the age, because of the model, like, okay.
Yeah, no, just look at everything. Look at everything. Now, if you're going to sell or finance it, you know, it's got to be in decent shape, either livable or close to livable. If it's a cheap house, close to livable. If it's a nicer house, you want it livable, like a double wide that's 2,000 or newer. But you can still wholesale a house that's, you know, 50 or 100 years old. You can still wholesale that house. You just got to get a good enough deal on it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm asking because it seems like I take a long time to look at the property, to scrutinize a lot of things around it. So I thought, like, you have just a technique that you look at the age of the house, you look at the design, and saying probably, like, if it's in this category, it needs a lot of work, or it's not good, and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Well, you just analyze each deal based on its own situation. For example, is this a good wholesale house? Would this be a good seller finance house? Is this a good fix and flip house? For example, I don't ever fix and flip houses or sell houses as a fix and flip if the ARV is, you know, less than 100 typically. Now, there are some people that will retail a house for $79,999, $89,999, but if you got an ARV of $50,000, you're not selling it as a fix and flip. You're not going to buy it as a fix and flip because anybody's going to pay $50,000 and go get a loan to buy the house at retail, they're not going to buy a $50,000 house if they have the credit and the down payment. So having said that, you got to analyze it. Okay, is this going to be a good rental property or seller finance property? Or maybe if it's a good enough discounted deal, then somebody in the neighborhood or somebody just looking to a house to, for a house to live in might buy the house.
Okay.
Is that good?
Yep.
Good. That's awesome. All right, cool. Who's next? Who else has a question?
Right. Hey, Larry. This is Patty again.
Hey,
I remember on one of these calls you saying something about how you don't really like to buy houses that people are living in.
Correct.
Well, I the double wide I just bought there was someone living in it. And I get now why that is, because you don't see the things like when they move out or when you're looking at a foreclosure.
Right. Well,
so there are those little
out,
surprises
it's always
that when you
worse.
Move the furniture, oh, look at that.
Exactly. Look what's behind the wall. Oh, that's why they had all those pictures over there. There's holes in the walls.
Yep, yep. And then she had a fight with her boyfriend, so she wanted us to let her out of the contract. And we said no. And then she got back with her boyfriend.
Yeah, well, that happened.
So I get it now.
Exactly. Well, not only that, the main reason that I don't like to buy houses with people living in them is, you know, it's not unusual to try to delay a closing, to stall a closing, to try to renegotiate a better deal, to even cancel a contract. You know, I don't mind losing my deposit, you know, canceling the contract and losing a $500 deposit. But if they're living there, these people have already packed up. They're already making plans. They might have leased another space and signed another year's lease somewhere. And then if I come out 2 weeks before closing and say, hey, we're going to have to either get a discount or we're not going to close. You know, they're not going to like that at all. They're not going to be happy. And, they're going to be upset. And then if there's a realtor involved, the realtor's going to be trying to shame you. And these people have already packed. They've already rented moving trucks, and they've already signed a lease. You know, and it's just, I don't like the whole drama that goes with it. I'd rather just deal with an empty bank home property or an empty property direct from a seller.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, don't get me wrong. You can make money doing it. You're buying it. You're closing it. You're going to make money on it, but, you know, it can have a lot more drama than I like to deal with. Not that I like to deal with any drama, but you know, it can be more difficult, as you well know now, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That's for sure. Good. Awesome. Who else has a question?
Oh, okay, so you want to leave the space open.
This is Aaron. I have another one for you, Larry.
Okay.
Are you ready for me?
I'm ready.
All right. First of all, thanks for helping out with all the counsel on that challenging transaction we were working on where the agent got involved and was trying to be a snake.
How did that work out?
So did Gabriel give you an update on it or anything yet?
No, I haven't heard anything.
Okay. So we did what you said most of the time. And we called that broker and talked to him. He said he would look into it and get back to us. We're now past the 72-hour mark, which he's now in violation of his ethical duty and legal duty to respond to us on the inquiry. I also made contact directly with the seller. I did what you said. I called her from a different number. She answered, and I had about a 20-minute conversation with her. And so that relationship is still there. Like, I talked to her for a while. You know, we went over everything, and she's struggling right now. You know, she still wants to sell the house, but I got the tears, I got the sob story, you know, and I got everything. Bottom line is we've pretty much got that realtor out of the way. He conceded today after getting scolded by his broker. The challenge right now to get this deal done is that, you know, our buyer's already signed, and funds are sitting there in escrow. He's getting charged for having his money sit there. The seller is now telling me she needed more money. She needs more money in order to get, you know, enough for a down payment on her next house. She said she needs $8,000 more than what we had agreed to and what worked for her 3 weeks ago.
Right.
So we've, in our experience, we've had to challenge a couple challenging situations, and we like to hold people to their word and their agreement, but we've also just recently let someone off the hook after coming back to us and trying to sell their house to someone else, even though we had a memo.
Right.
We're working on being compassionate and being reasonable. But, again, you know, this is something where we agreed to it. Everything was clear. And now she's like, I can't sign because I need more money. So right now our assignment fee is about $10,000 on this one.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any ideas on how? I mean, ideally, I'd like to work it out directly with her, give her enough encouragement and motivation just to go in there this week and sign the paperwork. That way we get something, you know, and the deal's done.
Hey.
But at the same time, I want to make the right choice.
Right.
Go ahead.
Was that Gabriel?
I think so.
Okay. All right.
No, it wasn't me.
Okay. All right. So, So you're assigning, you bought a property, you're buying a property from a lady. I'm just trying to catch everybody up that's on the call, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You're buying a property. You got it under contract with a lady. You wholesaled the property. You're making $10,000 on the wholesale, I believe is what you just said. And
yes.
Your buyer showed up. They closed. They wired the money, but the seller didn't show up. And all of a sudden, you get a call from a realtor that says he's her agent and she's not going to sell and all that stuff. But that was the day of closing, so you got his broker in charge involved, and he scolded him for trying to get involved and get a commission when he wasn't due one. But really, she's needing more money. So when you talked to her on the phone, did you tell her that, you know, she's in violation of the terms of the contract and you could sue her for specific performance or whatever?
I didn't say it that way. What I did say, I used a different approach. I said, look, my partners are breathing down my neck because we've already closed on this and our money's sitting in escrow and they're demanding an answer from me on why we haven't bought this house yet. And my hands are kind of tied and I need you to do something about
it. Too. You know, look, I'm just reaching out, you know, to try to help you because the partners, they want to sue you for specific performance because, you know, everything was ready, willing, and able. We showed up. We've signed our part. The money's sitting there. But you have defaulted on a legal binding contract. And I'm just trying to help you because I don't want to see them sue you. So you get not only get nothing, but your house could be tied up for years in a lawsuit where you're not going to be able to sell it to anybody. And I don't want to see
right.
that happen to you. So
and I know we can do that. Sorry, go ahead, Larry.
No, I was just going to say, so I'm just trying to help you. Now, I understand you want an additional $8,000, okay? You know, I'll go back to the partners and see what we can do. I might be able to get you two or three. If I could get you two or three, and instead of going through the whole legal battle and through the lawsuits and all that stuff, because I can't hold them off much longer, okay? But instead of doing all that, if I could get you two or three, then I have your word that you would show up tomorrow and sign everything and we could get this behind us.
Okay.
That's
her. No, I love it. Just so you have all the information. When she sells this house, she's essentially homeless. The reason she was selling it was to buy the next property. That was all coming together just fine. And now all of a sudden, after our closing date, she's saying she needs more money for the down payment for that house. She can't sell her house now. So should I feel bad or should I just, I don't know.
Listen, she's not really homeless. She's cashing out. She's going to have money. She may not be able to buy the home of her dreams because now she doesn't have enough down payment, but she can go out and buy another house and pay cash for it. Or she could go out and get a cheaper house or look for alternate financing or something, you know, but she's not
good
homeless.
Point.
She's not
good
homeless.
Point.
She's getting money. You know, she might live in a hotel for a couple of weeks or a week or something until she can find somewhere else to move into. But, you know.
Yeah, my biggest challenge, Larry, with this and with other things is I'm trying to balance doing the right thing and helping people and being compassionate and being flexible with also making sound business decisions and standing on what we've agreed to and stuff.
And you know what? I love it. It's very, very admirable. And I think you should do that. I think you should do that. But I also think that you shouldn't let people just run over you when you have a legally binding contract and they wait till the day of closing to decide that they don't want to do it. The day of closing. And the money's there. You signed everything. It's a done deal. They wait till the day of closing and try to work you. I don't like that at all. Plus, part of this is probably her agent who got in the middle of the deal anyway.
Exactly.
It'll be him filling her head full of this stuff. She might not even need the extra down payment. Who knows?
Right.
It might be him filling her head with this stuff. So you got to kind of trust but verify, so to speak. I know it's kind of hard to verify in something like this, But, you know, that's why I said, hey, let me see if I can get you another $2,000 or $3,000. Now, I'm not obligated to do that. We've signed the paperwork. The money's there. You know, we have fulfilled our side of the contract terms. However, you have defaulted on your side through no cause of ours. And they can sue you for specific performance. If you seek legal counsel, ask them about specific performance, and they could tell you that, yes, you can be sued for specific performance. And, by the way, you can't sell your property right now anyway because there's a cloud on your title because of this. We can clear all that up. We can move on. You can have your money tomorrow. Let me see if I can get you an extra $2,000 or $3,000, and let's get this behind us so it doesn't drag out for another 2 or 3 years in a legal battle. And you won't be able to sell your house to anybody during that time. And
yeah,
it's going to cost you a lot in legal fees. So take the money and run.
And you know what I got? You know, oh, I won't have any Christmas for my kids. You know, we're going to be homeless. It's like, oh, man, that's hard to digest. But, you know, how much of that is BS and how much of that is legit? And what do you do to help people? And yet they're defaulting on their own agreements. You know what I mean? It's just a big balance you have to strike.
Well, my biggest question would be, what's changed from whenever you were happy when we signed this thing and you knew we were closing, you know, the middle of December, and you knew what the contract was for, you knew how much you were going to net? I don't understand why all of a sudden you're going to have no Christmas and you're homeless. You know, what's changed?
I suspect, Larry, that it's the lender she's working with. I did not get a good vibe from her. My intuition from her was not good.
Right.
And she just was kind of like one of these low-key, never-heard-of-them type lenders that's got her approved for this new house. And
right,
she's the one that told me the payoff amount. And I told her, I said, look, obviously we can do the payoff, and I want to get her a few $1,000 for closing. Does that work? Will she be approved? And she's like, yeah.
Right.
And now she's putting it and saying that the lender's saying she needs more, $8,000 more than the three she's getting, $11,000 total.
Well, there's more than one way to get that done. I mean, she could go to the buyer of the new house and tell them, look, I'm $8,000 short. I need you to pay my closing costs, give me a small second mortgage, buy down my rate to help me, you know, help me in multiple different ways. You know, ask the real estate agent who screwed up the deal to begin with to cut his commission.
Okay. Gabriel, do you have any things you want to inject into this now? Thank you, Larry. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, it sounds like you just covered it, a lot of it.
He's still recovering from the trip.
Oh, I'm here. Can you not hear me?
Yeah.
Hello, 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 hello.
Yeah, I'm just messing with you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. No, yeah, that's good. I liked what you had to say, Larry. Thank you.
Good. Oh, you're welcome. I was just saying you're still recovering from the trip.
Yes, that's the ticket.
Good. All right, anybody else have a question? You guys have had some good questions tonight. Good deals going on. Several people got deals going on. That's awesome. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, I have a question.
All right.
How many offers is everyone planning to make this week?
This week?
Yeah.
2, 4, 6, 8, 10. About 1,000.
Okay. Larry's going to make about 1,000 offers. What about everyone else? I'm planning to make about 100.
On the call.
Oh.
Maybe. I don't know.
Bill?
Which Bill?
Fred? Sheila?
Which Bill?
Well, whoever's going to, the bill that's going to make the most offers, which one is it?
Me.
Okay, how many are you planning to make, Bill?
Well, now, mine are all quality offers. I'm pretty sure they're going to go through. I find good deals. But I'll make at least 10.
I like it.
Awesome.
And this is Sheila. I'm planning to make 10 a day.
10 a day. You go, girl.
10 a day.
Make it rain.
That's awesome. And, guys, let me tell you something. Listen to this. December, near the end of December, is the best time of the year to buy HUD houses. You guys know, Gabriel and Aaron, you were at my office last week. Did I not get a HUD house at 35% of list that had been on the market less than 20 days?
Yes, sir.
It was listed for 76. We're paying 35 for it, 35.5 or something like that for it, 35.
And as an observation to that, Larry, and to everyone listening, I hopped on HUD for about 2 hours last night, and in Texas, at least here, there are about 20% more properties on the site than I've seen in the last several weeks when we hop on every day. They've
really?
Been loading them up here. Yeah, there's a lot more properties on, especially in our market.
That's awesome. That's good. That's good. Yeah, I think we're paying 26.6 for it is what we're paying, actually. It's listed for 76. We're paying 26.6 for it, I believe. Anyway, we're getting our bandit signs put out tomorrow. We're going to market the heck out of that thing. We're going to wholesale it for $39.9, I believe.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Anybody else have any questions? All right, going once. Going twice. All right, guys. Listen, thanks for being on. I really appreciate it. We appreciate your business. We appreciate your confidence in us. Know that you can always reach out to me by phone or email anytime in between these calls and keep making those offers. I'm making a ton of HUD offers. I'm making sure I make an offer on every HUD house in North and South Carolina every day through the end of the year. I want to pick up a bunch of HUD houses for pennies on the dollar, and this is the time of year to do it. So get out there and make a bunch of HUD offers everywhere except the Carolinas. So that was a joke.
Good one.
But
that was a great one, Jerry. Thank you.
Yeah. Get out there and make a bunch of offers, and thank you guys for your business. I really appreciate it. Good talking to you, and let me know if you need anything. All right, guys?
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Uncle Larry. Bye.
Thanks.